Easter, I asked the Lord, I said, I need an Easter message. And I want you to give me something that the people need to hear. And whether they've heard it or not. So he said, okay. It's Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. And you're flipping to that, and it says something like the parable of the sower, and you're like, what does that have to do with Easter? Well, those of you that know me know that I don't do anything conventional, so. Well, that's right. See? I'm one of those weird types. Beginning with verse 1, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Okay. I want you to put yourself in the crowd. Okay? So, this parable is directed at you. Now, I want you to ask yourself, if you're listening to this message live while Jesus is delivering it, who's the sower? He is. You want to know who else he's talking about? Those 12 that are listening. You see, back in Matthew chapter 10 was when they received their commission, what they were supposed to say, what they were supposed to do. In fact, we're going to flip back to chapter 10 and read just a couple of verses. Reading 10, verse 1. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. Oh. And then verses 7 through 8. This is when he's sending them out with instructions. As you go, proclaim the good news, which is what, Jesus? It's this. The kingdom of heaven has come near. So, that's the mission, which just so happens to be the same mission that Christ agreed to take. So the seed is supposed to be exactly the same. Right? They're not supposed to get their seed from themselves or from the corner store or from the farmer's market. They're supposed to get it from the source who made the seed. Okay? So, I want to ask you this question. And I want you to sort of think on this as I go on about what happened with this seed. Each one of us is a sower. Where do we get our seed from? What type of seed is it? Is it something that came directly from the source and therefore it's the same? Or is it something that we have genetically engineered ourselves because we like a particular result? See, I have worked with genetically engineered seeds. When I was at Oakland University, we played with Brassica rapas, which are also called Wisconsin fast plants. It's a mustard plant that basically goes through its entire life cycle in about 2 to 3 weeks. That's fast. So that you can do all of these wonderful experiments. But see, we're not geneticists or supposed to be with his seed. We're supposed to have the original article. Because if you don't, you end up being one of those that sows tares among the wheat. Now, I want to look at what normal growth is supposed to look like with this seed. Because this is what Jesus is talking about. What you should expect. Okay. On the path, you're going to sow seed to people that have so much noise in their heads, they can't receive what you're saying. What do I mean by that? I mean that you've got people that have developed their own line of reasoning, their own way of thinking, based upon their past experience, based upon core values that they've developed, based upon what they're passionate about or what offends them. These are people that have decided, I don't have time for this. I'm not interested. I think you're crackers. And so I'm, no. These are people that hope in the now, don't care about anyone else but themselves. And they got it all figured out. They don't need to be bombarded with some, you know, nice message. They have everything all figured out. Don't want to receive the word. Okay? You're going to run into people like that. The rocks. What happens if the message that you have for them, what God has laid on you, or what have you, what if it doesn't sink deep enough? What if the message doesn't truly convict the heart? What if this is someone that says, oh, I definitely want God in my life, but on my terms, on my conditions? I want my God to be like a breakfast cereal, God in a box. And I want him to have this much rain over my life, but not here. I want him to do this kind of miracle in my life. The rest, that's up to me. If he's really real, he's going to do X, Y, and Z in that order. So they want their own rendition, version, flavor of God. You're going to run into those people too. The thorns. you have witness to these people. And they say, oh, I want that. I want to accept that. I'm turning my life over to Christ. And they think that as soon as they do that, that they will never get sick another day of their lives. They're going to live to be 120. No calamity is ever going to hit. Every earthquake, tornado, landslide, hurricane is going to cease. There's never going to be a car accident. There's never going to be anyone treating them nastily. It's all good. Right? I mean, aren't Christians, aren't they always 110% happy, Dave? Aren't they? Absolutely. Everything's perfect. Everything's great. Right? Right. So, see? Okay. So then what happens to these people when disaster strikes? They say, I thought God was going to shield me from this. As soon as I turned my life over to him, everything was, I was supposed to have this umbrella of protection from everything. And, well, God doesn't care. Forget it. I'll do it myself. Those are the thorns. But then there's also the good soil. There are some people where they receive that word of God and you can just tell that that is life-changing, rearranging, reconstructing in their lives. They are completely different. Different to the point where they are weird for God. You know that the Lord is reigning in their lives. No matter what happens, they're blessed. I can remember asking Athena on a regular basis, how are you? I'm blessed. So do you have a job yet? No. Right? But she was blessed. I'm like, see? That's what I'm talking about. But, well, yeah. So God is filling them with abundance. That's what they know. They are standing on God's promises, and they just say, he is all-sustaining. He has filled me with more blessing than I could count. And they just always have this crop. They are so psyched on what God has done for them that God says, I'm going to throw some seeds down to you. Here, cast them out. You be a sower. That's what's normally supposed to happen. Now, let me ask you this. When you sow seed, what kind of outcome do you get? Do you get an outcome like what I described? And if you don't, what do you actually get? Where am I going with this? What if your seed happens to be, okay, here's what you should do. I want you to be kind to other people. I want you to show respect to someone else's property. You need to be a great listener. You need to do your best. Is this starting to sound like public school? Yeah, it does, right? Be a good person, you know, and that's really, you know, just play nice and treat everybody well and everybody's happy and it's all good. And that's what you should do. See? What do you get when that's the message? Seeds on a path. 'Cause it's worthless. you say, God made you and he loves you just the way you are. You know, God is all about joy and love, and you're his child, and he just loves you. He just loves on you, and just be happy, knowing that no matter what you do, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're going to do, none of it matters, because he loves you, and everything's happy. And is this starting to sound like a VBS puppet show? God loves you, and, you know, he made you and loves you just the way you are. He made everything from, right, see, you know, some people do that. You see this on talk shows. God loves you. It's all good. You know what happens to that kind of seed? Rocks. What if you say, and I've heard this one, oh, if you just read this one author's book, it'll change your life. If you attend this speaker seminar, life-changing, life-giving word. Or if you say, you know, I was exactly in that position once, but God, when he shows up, he gives this one specific sign, and boom, everything changes. And you just glow and radiate with the Lord. And he'll do the same thing, exactly the same thing to you. Right? Well, no. And after you read that book, and then, well, is somebody just hawking a book here? Or, wow, that seminar really was awesome. And, well, now they're telling me I got to buy 7 other books, and well, that's all right. Well, they must all be life-changing. If I just follow this one guy, if I just follow this one teaching, this one guy, because he has it together. He knows what he's talking about. I'll just follow that. I'll just sign on to that church, because that one, that opinion makes sense to me. I'll just follow that. You know what you're going to get? Thorns. Because something's going to come up. And I don't understand all that this guy just said, that don't really worry about sin, because you're just supposed to remember his blessings. Just keep remembering his blessings. It'll all work out. Just forget about the guilt. Just forget about the shame. Just forget about how someone's hurt you. All you got to do is forget. And if you forget, then it's gone, right? You know, God will just make everything go away. That's what this guy says, and it's all good. No, you get thorns. The point is, a watered-down gospel, a message delivered so you're not offending anybody, or a witness designed to be pleasing to everyone, is not the harvest you find in the 4 Gospels, in the book of Acts, or in any of the epistles. Jesus came to this earth to restore us. We're not only to trust in Jesus' compassion for us, but in his divine authority over us. He's in charge, not us. God incarnate died and resurrected to give us life, to give us the Holy Spirit, to give us a mission, to give us his plan, not ours. I want to give you an example with Easter. This happened about a year ago, around the same time, and I was sitting with the kids at Awana, and one of the leaders decided that she was going to give the salvation message, and she said, all you got to know is that Jesus died and he rose again, and if you believe that, you're going to heaven. The new associate pastor, he got pretty hot, and he said, no. It's not going to work. Even the demons believe he died and resurrected. That belief doesn't do anything for this. And he got into an argument with this leader, and she said, but that's it. That's all you need to, that's all these kids need to know. You don't need to make this more complicated. That's all they need. It's simple. He went into his office and shut the door, locked it. And I said, you know what? I gotta talk to this guy. So I went home and I called him. I called his office and I said, I'm with you. I am with you. What happened to repentance? What happened to personal sin? What do we do as churches nowadays with Easter? Easter bunnies, Easter eggs, rides for kids. Show them entertaining stuff. Because we try to make this appealing to everybody. That's the way things are going nowadays. Sick. That's genetically engineered seed. It's useless. We want his. The source comes from him. He made the seed. Get it from the source. And that seed is pure. It cost a lot to make, didn't it? Where's your seed coming from? You trying to make your message appealing to everybody? Or are you willing to give the straight one, whether they find it offensive or ridiculous? You willing to take the risk that someone's going to think, no, too much for me? Not willing to do it. Remember, you are not to save anybody. You can't. That's up to him. Sow his seed, especially this Easter. What's the real story? Father, we have failed. We have failed as your people, we have failed as the church. The unified church has failed. We have tried to make Easter entertaining. We've tried to make it cute, fluffy and cuddly. And it's useless. It's non-germinating, growing seeds. We can't harvest what doesn't grow. Father, give us your gospel, not the one that we want to invent, not the one that we feel comfortable delivering, yours. Teach us anew what your seed is. We know you are here. And we know that you are answering that prayer. You are working in us to bring us your good news, your gospel, your Easter. We thank you, Father, for visiting us today. Your Holy Spirit is working in us right now, I know. Jesus, it's all about you. Teach us fresh today. In Jesus' name.